Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to get together with all my brothers and sisters across this land and out across the pond. And Lord, we thank you for pulling us all in here at the same time, being able to share with each other what you've given us, and to also share the word with one another. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for cleaning us up, making us overcomers, and getting us ready for this great, great happening that's fixing to take place here. Looks like it's coming close, Lord. Looks like it's coming mighty close. And Lord, we just ask for your anointing upon all of us tonight, and let your anointing flow. We command every spirit, we bind them up and cast them out of here in the name of Jesus. We don't allow any kind of tormenting spirits or hindering spirits to operate in this conference call in Jesus' name, this fellowship call in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a happy, joyous occasion because we're going to be talking about you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Judy. Gaydol, Sue. Praise the Lord. The girl from the compound. No, that ain't what you call it. Yeah, well, I forget what it is, but it's something. Similar to, not the compound. What is it, Missy? Somebody tell me what it is. Family circle. That's what it is. Family circle. Yeah.
The Golden Girls.
Oh, Barry, I'm glad you said that, not me.
I was thinking more like see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil.
Oh, my. Yeah. Seen that one too many times. Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
This is kind of a minor prayer request, but I'm going to make it anyway. We have this ceiling fan that, long story short, we got to take down and put a new one up. And it's a big fan. It's a 60 inch, and we're going to take down and put a 62 up just because the one we decide to get to replace it is just happens to be 2 inches wider. But anyway, so I just ask the Lord to keep us safe while we do it and show us how to do it, Lord, and that we have patience in doing it, Lord, that we just don't get upset about doing it or upset at each other or anything like that, Lord. No frustration, just total patience and peace and joy that we can do this together, and showing us how to do it. And we thank you, Lord, for that, and that we do it right, of course, and everything works perfectly when we're done, in Jesus' name.
Amen. First thing to know, turn the electricity off. Hit the breaker. At the breaker. Not
right.
Switch. Yeah.
And then test it to make sure it's off.
Yeah. How somebody. Yeah. Just reach up, lick your fingers, reach up there and grab it.
That's always the last thing we do on a machine whenever we shut it off. It's called lock it out. You actually have a physical lock and everything that can actually turn it on. And then actually now it goes to the circuit breaker and turn it off with the circuit breaker too. So we've got two lockouts now going on. last thing we have to do is go try to start the machine, turn it on, see if it'll turn on. Even though we know it's all locked out, if you don't do that, you didn't officially lock it out. You got to go, hey, well, turn on. And if it, you know, that's if that's the last thing. Oh, well, turn on. No, that's the same thing you do. Well, turn on. No. Okay, it's done. So just one of those things that make us do.
Just put it back on just like the old one came off. That's all you got to do.
Also put the blades on the fan while it's down, then put it up. Okay. Well, if you do it your way.
It's too heavy. Okay. It's too big. I've already looked at the instructions in it, and it's said to put it on after we get the main part up there. Put them on.
Okay. Well, that's because they're not having to do it. Stand on a ladder and twist those little screws, and you drop them, and you got to get down and pick up the screw or find the screw first. Yeah. I've lost many of them trying to do it like that. But you can do it your way.
Thank you, Leon.
Okay. Now that we got that fixed up, anybody else got a prayer request? Lord, we thank you it's going to be a smooth transition from one to the other. They're not going to have any problems with it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Leah.
Yeah, I'm having a couple of times in the past couple of weeks, it feels like my rear end on my truck is slipping. You know how when you hit a wet spot and your tires spin? Mm-hmm. And then when it hits the dry spot, it kind of bangs and goes. It's something like that. But I prayed against it, but I'd like you all to agree with me, and maybe the Lord will heal that one for me. Well, anyway, I'll pray. Lord, I just come to you, and I ask you to heal that, I believe it's the rear end. I don't know. It could be that or the transmission. Whatever it is, Lord, you know the problem. You know the cure, and I pray that you fixed it for me, and just stop this whatever it's doing and banging so forth. So stop that and heal it in the name of Jesus. I believe that you've done it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Are you talking about when you take off or something, it'll slip?
No, I might be turning the corner. Mm-hmm. And it's like you hit a wet spot, you know, and your wheels spin, and then it bangs once you hit the dry mm-hmm. spot, like that. Mm-hmm. But I might be turning a corner or going straight, and it just happens. So mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever had anything done to the rear end, and it's got about 180,000 miles on it.
Oh, that's nothing for a rear end, really. Those things last forever, as long as you don't abuse it. But, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, Lord, we just thank you that it's fixed in Jesus' name. Yeah. We believe with Leon that rear end, whatever it is, it's doing that. We command. We thank you, Lord, it's already fixed and repaired. You got your Absolutely. Warrior angels out there already working on the job. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Got it down, picked up, and all like new. In Jesus' name.
Fill it up with oil, too.
Amen. Good oil. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to pray for you and Jeanette.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I can tell you're tired.
Who, me?
Anyway, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for giving Michael a good night's rest, and that he's just super energized when he gets in the gets up in the morning, and just giving the energy now to get through the outreach. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in Jeanette and healing her. And thank you, Lord, that she's completely healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yep, she's here. She's a lot better today. Be better tomorrow. She'll be. She, girls came in here, swooped in here today, and made her get up, walked her around, made her eat something that she wouldn't do before, and gave her a bath, and what have you. And
is at home now?
Oh yeah, she's been home since I brought her home yesterday morning. Doctor said, the MRI said that nothing wrong with it. Everything's fine. There's nothing, no broke breaks or anything, no fractures or anything. Yeah, it's just a miracle. It's God's grace, you know. We prayed, so we believe. They left, when they left Newport, the doctor up there, you know, he's had a death sentence on her just about it. You know, they rushed her up to Little Rock. Time they got up there, we'd already been praying. She, it wasn't near as bad as they thought. And they let her go yesterday morning. This was on Saturday evening. And then, what's today? It was Monday. Monday they let her go. So that was pretty neat how God did that. Now she's got a big headache, but she's got a big old gash over 7 staples in her head right there where she hit the floor.
But probably a tight feeling with that there and not comfortable, but.
Yeah, well, I just told her, I said, that's all that is a facelift, hon. Don't worry about that.
That's what I thought, free facelift.
That's all that is.
Okay. Well, we prayed and we believed. That's right.
Yeah, that's what. That's
prayed and we believed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Did they tug before they stapled?
No, not that much of doctors up there. I think all they did was just staple. I had to get it stapled. You know, I don't know. I told her, I said, don't worry about going to the doctor. I can pull them out myself. I've done that. I did that with Blake a couple of times. He had an arm that was cut open, and they stapled it back together. He was in a four-wheeler accident. I just pulled him out with a pair of pliers, so it's not a big deal. His mama liked to die when he told her. He said, Papa did it. Papa got him out.
What?
I freaked out. Thank you, Lord. I said, yeah, just like pulling, you know, out of a dog or something.
Wipe him off with a rag first, you know.
Oh, I didn't even do that. I just pulled him out of there. I made pain come. Okay. Something I do want to say is that we're going to be doing a fast here locally, and if y'all want to, that's fine. I'll tell you what it's about. Let me find it here. Some of it doesn't concern y'all, so, but I'm going to read what does. Okay, this is from Eve. Eve got this from the Lord. So, dear brother, Father has called me to fast and pray for all my UBM brethren for our deliverance and for the coming salvation and deliverance of our families and loved ones for the next 2 weeks. I would like to invite everyone in local and larger UBM to join me in this fast that Father has personally called me to. In parentheses, it says, be led by the Spirit concerning it, if the Father will have you to modify or do something different than the guidelines that he laid out for me. Also, there is no specific time frame in which to do this 2-week fast, although I have a strong feeling in my spirit of a larger window of time from January to mid-February for fasting and supplication for God's elect. Father has been speaking to me and strengthening my inward man and drawing me to this particular fast for a couple of weeks. And I began yesterday on January the 13th, continuing on through the 26th. Here is the fast he spoke to me. Now, this is the specifics of the fast. So if you want to remember this or write it down, here it is. The first 3 days will be an Esther fast, which is neither eat nor drink for 3 days. Esther 4, verses 15 through 17. The next 4 days will be water only, and this will complete the first week. And on the second week, I will drink only liquids. In other words, whatever you can put in a liquid blender and make into a liquid is fine. During this time, I will make supplications and intercession for all our UBM brethren, both local and greater UBM, for our children and families concerning this year, 2020, a year of restoration and judgments. I am with you and I will strengthen you and will put all my will and all my desire in your heart to pray for each individual. This is the Lord talking. Intercede in the Spirit continually in between times of fervent prayer for the people. He then reminded me of what the angel of his presence spoke to me in a recent dream, speaking of the time of the earthquakes. My people shall be delivered, starting in the east and fervently, intensity of spirit, to the west shall they be delivered. And she puts the link to that dream that she had. This morning, my text that I received by faith at random for our prayer meeting, pasted below, really confirmed the plan for this particular 2-week feast, or fast, I'm sorry, that Father spoke to me. And David agreed that it was a good confirmation. He has asked me to type up all the details for everyone. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses, her finger was on 25, but I'm going to read 17 through 27 is what she's got here. For there were many in the assembly that had not sanctified themselves. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it is written. For Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that setteth his heart to seek God, Jehovah, the God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that had good understanding in the service of the Lord. So they did eat, as she's got in parentheses, feasting the spiritual man, not the carnal man. Okay. Throughout the feast for the 7 days, offering sacrifices of peace offerings and making confession to the Lord, the God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. In other words, 2 weeks. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the assembly for offerings 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the assembly 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the assembly of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the assembly that came out of Israel, and the sojourners that came out of the land of Israel and that dwell in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the ilk in Jerusalem, or the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose, blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy habitation, even unto heaven. What an awesome confirmation. Let us humble ourselves and draw near to God. Michael and I are here to help. I will be sending them. That doesn't pertain to you. Thank you for your patience and prayer. In other words, things the Lord wants us to do is to pray for our loved ones and the people you've been believing for during this fast, to sacrifice ourselves for them. That's what he wants us to do. So if you've got people that you're praying for, and I know every one of you do, then this is the time the Lord is fixing to do something here. He's fixing to bring them in. That's what he's fixing to do. The Lord is going to bring in the people we've been praying for, our family members. He's going to restore. And it's going to go, he said, from the east to the west, all across this land. And another thing I want to mention. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure that you don't have anything in your heart that's dark. We all know that we're supposed to, there's not going to be any sin in heaven. But in the bride, if you want to be in the bride, get rid of self. Get rid of self. Self ain't worth it, I can tell you. It's God he wants to be in the bride. Jesus is who he wants in the bride, and that's who he's going to have in the bride. And if you've got some things that might be troubling you, get rid of them. Be an overcomer. The bride are people who grow up, are grown up and mature. They're not people who keep messing up. I know we all stumble here and there. I'm not saying that. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm talking to the whole outreach, not just y'all, but the whole outreach. There's a number more out there. Get rid of all those things that hindered your walk before. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus. Pray and seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't want this. Let it go. Take it from me. Put it on the altar. You'll take it. I want to be in the bride. I'm going to be in the bride. With God's help. That means that I'm going to do my best to keep my eyes focused on Jesus all the time, not on Michael. If I focused it on Michael, I'd fail every time. Because I got people come against me all the time. Lord taught me alligator hide business a long time ago, and it doesn't bother me much anymore. But I'm just saying, make sure nothing bothers you. We've been in this curse of unforgiveness, and we need to let that sink in and not worry about yourself. Start worrying about the Jesus in you. Anybody else? We're coming close, folks. God's tuning us up for this great happening. If you want to be in it, you know, make every effort. I want to be in it. Anybody else want to be in this other than myself? Amen, Tim. Well, I got one. There's two. Oh, the Golden Girls are all in it. Barry and Marilyn's in it. Well, praise God. Now we got some people showing up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know we all do. We all want to be in it. Okay. Anything else? Any testimonies or praise report? Yeah, Marilyn. Ah.
Ah. Oh, praise the Lord. About several weeks ago, we prayed for my daughter, Jenny. She had a mole that was biopsied on her leg. And actually is a fairly large mole that had been there since she was a young girl. But within the last year, it had started going through some changes, looking different, growing. So anyway, she went in. They took a fairly large biopsy. And the report was a little bit inconclusive. And they had her come back in 3 months, and they, you know, they looked at it again, and it was a different doctor that looked at her that time and wanted to do like a surgery to really cut it out. She didn't like the way it looked. She was confessing a lot of negative things. So anyway, we prayed about it here, and the Lord just absolutely answered our prayers to cut to the chase. She went today for the surgery, and a different doctor looked at it, and he said, you know, the chances of this being a problem are just so low. He said, you know, we can cut the whole thing out if you want to, but he wasn't recommending that. And also our daughter's self-employed, and so she doesn't have health insurance, and they were going to give her a 50% discount, but even with the 50% discount, it was going to cost her $750 to have that thing taken out today. So anyway, we are praising the Lord. I'd gotten a text from Julie and Missy this morning. We were texting anyway, so they were praying with us. And Michael, you had prayed a real powerful prayer for Jenny. And just everything you prayed is exactly what happened. You know, it's just not a problem. And we're believing that it's just totally healed. And so anyway, we give the Lord all praise and glory. We are so joyful and so thankful. And
praise God. You
know, yeah, I have to confess, boy, that doubt and unbelief trying to hammer me. But, you know, I kept casting it down. And you know, it wasn't very long at all after she'd gotten to the doctor that we got a call and that, you know, they were just heading home. So amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. You're so good to us. Uh-huh. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, dear angels. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? When was it? It was last week. Just a little kind of a side note here. Lord had me do some things in a meeting. I don't remember whether it was on a Monday night or Friday night, Leon. But when we had Lexi and Isaiah out there, and I saw an angel out there that was dressed in priest garb. Little cute little hat and the royal attire, you know, and had gold and lace and all that. But what was interesting, I was talking about that. Lexi, I had him come out there, and Lexi come out there, and she said, "That ain't the only one out here." she sees angels all the time. And I said, "Well, that's all I see." "So what do you see?" She said, "It ain't all of them." I said, "Okay. Praise the Lord." Yeah, Leah.
That's your first angelic sighting, right? Or have you seen them before? Oh, no,
I've seen them a lot of times, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No, I've seen them throughout my walk. I first started seeing them many years ago over in Memphis. Saw my first beaming over there, too. But anyway, that's beyond what we're talking about here. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. She's a warrior, bro. I'm going to tell you, she is a spiritual warrior. Little Lexi, 14 years old. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Hi, Barbara. How you doing, girl? Hey, Albert. Good, you and Lisa both on tonight.
Yes, we are. God bless you all.
Yeah, bless you.
I just got home from work.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, bless you. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
I'm
anybody
fine.
Else? Yeah, well, you look fine. You're looking good, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Debbie.
I'd like to have prayer for a friend of ours. We prayed for once before. Her name is Darla. She really loves the Lord and has always been on fire for the Lord and doing things for Him. But she's just got such terrible physical problems and a lot of pain. So she's got spine problems, diabetes, she's other things. I'm not sure what they all are, and they're not quite sure what her pain is from. So I told her we'd be praying for her tonight again. We prayed for her before. She hasn't had any release of this yet, so.
Okay. Is she a Christian? She believe?
Yes, she's a Christian. She really loves the Lord. Yeah.
Okay. She believe in healing? God's healing?
Well, she says, "I know God's going to heal me. I know God heals." But then she still talks about all that's wrong and all the doctors are going to do and all they're saying. So I don't know if she fully really believes. She just knows God can heal, so.
God can heal. No, He will heal, He said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Her name is Darla.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you,
God. Well, Lord, we lift up Darla to you.
Thank you, God.
Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in her life. Thank you. And Father, we just ask and we pray that you show her what faith is, calling the things that are not as though they were. And Father, that she would only speak a blessing upon herself and not speak curses anymore. And we cast down all of those tormenting spirits that are testing her in Jesus' name. And we bind up that spirit of infirmity upon her. We command it to go. We command the spirit of pain to go from her body in Jesus' name. We command every tormenting spirit to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you place it into her heart that when Debbie speaks to her again, that she'll be confessing the good confession. Now I command every cell in her body, every organ in her body, and every muscle in her body, and everything in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
And Father, we just praise you and thank you that Darla is healed and she's going to give the glory to you, Father. And I praise you for it, Father, and that she's going to be a wonderful testimony to your grace and your mercy upon her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I command those spirits that are tormenting her mind to leave too in the name of Jesus. confusion, you go. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Doubt and unbelief, you go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that Darla healed, delivered, and set free by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that's above all names. And Father, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that she is healed and delivered this night in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen.
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 Thank you.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? It's done, ain't it? It's done. It's done. It's done. Dolly, you be healed, girl. Yeah, Joe.
Well, I thought about holding off, but I said maybe I shouldn't. I just need prayer myself. You know, after what you're talking about there, I just might as well be honest. Stop holding back and just stop, you know, sweeping it under the carpet like I'm so good at doing anymore. I need prayer for myself. You know, I've just been, you know, I need prayer to be all in. You know, I struggle with it. I want a heart that goes totally after God. You know, I really haven't been. It seems like the further along I go, I just, you know, I'm half here, half there, half in the world, half in the kingdom, and that's not the way it should be. So, you know, I'm not going to just keep going on and on about my struggles. I've already done that. You know, I'm very open about it, but I don't know. I'm not all in like I should be, like others are. And but then again, I want the want to as well. You know, I don't want to just say, yeah, I want to, when really I don't, you know. So you know, as David said many times, you know, when you want the want to from God, pray for that. You know, I want that as well, you know, because it's like, so yeah, I can use some prayer, you know, because it is getting late in the hour and it's time to quit playing games and get serious. And I need to stop doing that myself. So.
Okay. All right. Now, we're going to pray. And Joe, you're going to be an overcomer. You're an overcomer. We're going to believe that for you.
Yeah.
Lord, I lift up Joe to you. You've been a good brother, and I praise you for him, Lord. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command doubt and unbelief to leave him. And any other kind of tormenting spirit, that rejection, you go in Jesus' name. All of those spirits that have tormented him, we command you to go in Jesus' name. We command complete deliverance from him. And Lord, he's confessed his faults to you. Now he is just as sanctified as the most sanctified person in this room, in Jesus' name. He is completely free of any condemnation, of any kind of looking at self instead of looking at Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're changing his heart from an old stony heart of unbelief and doubt and wishy-washy and sitting on the fence type of stuff,
yeah,
like we've all been through. And Lord, we thank you for putting in him a hunger for the word of God and a fear of you, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that Joe realizes that he wants to run after you, Father, with all his heart, but the flesh keeps blocking him. And we command that flesh to stand down in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for giving him the wherewithal to beat that flesh and keep his eyes and his minds and his mouth on you, Lord. Always continually be speaking blessings. And we just thank you for it, Father. Placing love in his heart for everybody, no matter what. No matter what, that he just keeps his heart and his eyes and his ears on you, Lord, that he sees Jesus in everybody. Just like that man I was talking about here a while back that Hagin saw, that he loved everybody. He had never had nothing bad to say about anybody. He always had something good to say about everybody. We're asking you to make that Joe.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for my brother. And I praise you, Father, that he is a great overcomer in Jesus' name. Amen, Joe. I believe that, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody in here believe that with me?
I'll believe too.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I believe it.
Amen, brother. That was Corpus Christi just spoke up. Amen. All right, anyone else? All right. Well, let's see here. The curse of unforgiveness. Anybody know where we left off?
Page 24.
You sure we got that far?
Yep.
Okay.
I marked it in my book. See.
Okay. Is there a certain place we stopped on 24 or just the whole page? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start over on 23, and we'll just do some little bit of backtracking just a little bit. That's all right with everybody. And I'm going to read that first big paragraph there, if that's okay, on page 23. Where's George? Okay. That's something we don't often understand, that we're here to take up our cross. Jesus said in Luke 14 and 27, whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We're here also to take up a cross to the death of self. Not necessarily the death of our body, but the death of self. And God uses the vessels of dishonor around us to bring us to that place for our own good. Y'all hear that? God uses the vessels of dishonor around us to bring us to that place for our own good. In other words, he uses the circumstances and people around us to mature us. There is no freedom in the kingdom of heaven like there is once self has been put to death. Let me read that again. This is very important. There is no freedom in the kingdom of heaven like there is once self has been put to death. And people around us are quite willing to help nail us to the cross. And Jesus understood that. He understood there was a force behind what was going on. But that force wasn't Satan, who isn't even mentioned here. Satan is the vessel of dishonor who rules over all the vessels of dishonor. But in the book of Job, we can see plainly that Satan didn't have a sovereign will. He couldn't do just anything he wanted to do. God Almighty in Job was the only one who had a perfect sovereign will. And so from Jesus's testimony, he wanted mercy. And he wanted forgiveness for these people because he understood that they were just vessels of dishonor, and that because they were vessels of dishonor, they could be used to do something that was dishonorable. He knew that he was receiving this from the Father. Jesus knew that he came into this world for this purpose. And that's what he told his disciples. And looking at it in that way made it possible for Jesus to be forgiving to these people. Now, if we would look at it in that way, we could be forgiving too. Do you think that this could be said of us for of a truth in this city against thy holy servant, so-and-so, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. In other words, for of a truth in this city against thy holy servant, Michael, Missy, Andrew, Barry, Marilyn, Joe, iPad, Judy, Gaynold, and Sue, Dave Nelson, Dennis, and Debbie, and Joe B., Tim, Leon, Megan, put your name in there. Whom thou didst anoint, we're anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, will gather together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. Put your name in there, because Jesus said you are to take up your cross and follow him. There are a lot of obnoxious people all around us who hate us and do all these things. But Jesus said, take up your cross. In Matthew 16:24, Mark 8:34, Luke 9:23. Turn the other cheek. Matthew 5:39, Luke 6:29. Love your enemy. Matthew 5:44, Luke 6:27. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Luke 6:28. Resist not him that is evil. Matthew 5:39. And on and on and on. All of those commands put us in a position of weakness. And what you do when you're in that weakness decides whether or not you're an overcomer or not. Anybody got anything they'd like to say before we go on here? You understand what he's talking about. He's talking about dying to self. Michael doesn't make any difference anymore. It's Jesus that God's looking for. Michael's not going to go to heaven. It's Jesus in me that's going to heaven. All of those commands put us in a position of weakness. And that's how we take up our cross, by obedience to Jesus. Luke 6:46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? I kind of changed it a little bit there. Am I stretching it to say the same thing is true of us? No. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And that's obviously the Lord speaking. And against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Well, it didn't happen that way with his disciples after Jesus was gone. They went forth to preach the gospel, and everywhere they went, they were hated. And they were spit on. And God did a great humbling in their life. He crucified their old flesh, and he manifested his son in them. So much so that the people called them Christians. Does God still do that today? Obviously he does. So we have to put our trust in God, in the circumstances around us, and trust in him to finish the good work he started in us too. All right, anybody got any comments on this? Got any questions on this, what it is to die to self? Does anybody have an idea about what unforgiveness is? We've been through that. I want to just see, kind of review it a little bit. What is unforgiveness? Yeah, Missy. How do you detect it?
Well, some things that unforgiveness is judging, being critical, bitterness, anger, these are the most common ones. But yeah, one thing that really stands out to me is for instance, let's say someone calls you up on the phone and mentions someone's name, you know, even from like years ago or something, and you have this, like, maybe you had a bad experience with this person that they mention their name, and you just have, just right away have, you know, just negative thoughts about them, you know, or whatever. Well, that's unforgiveness, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
I like to put it, yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll go first, then you go.
yeah.
Well, to put it easily, I guess, just to put it, you know, simply, unforgiveness is not denying yourself and taking up your cross, because self wants to get angry, wants to be bitter, wants to, you know, be vengeful, all those things, you know, condemning, judgmental. And if you don't deny that, you know, you're unforgiving. So, you know, to deny yourself is, you know, and take up your cross is to forgive that other individual, you know, deny all those feelings that are symptoms, and just say, you know, I'm going to love that person and forgive them, even though I sure don't feel it right now, you know? So yeah, you're just denying all of that, and you're letting the old man die, letting all that unforgiveness, you know, or all those symptoms. So yeah, amen. That's it pretty much. Yeah.
Amen. That's when somebody says something to you, something starting rising up in your stomach. I mean, have you ever had that feeling? Well, when that starts rising up in front of, in your tummy, just cast it down. It's that vain imagination. He said, cast down those vain imaginations. Well, ain't no reason for me to get mad, because this guy's lost his goose. It's those demons running him. And that's God maturing me. So all I need to do is sit back and grin and spout out some blessings on him. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I downloaded that Andrew Murray book there, and I read some of it there, and he said something about
which book?
The one we were going to study there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Master's Indwelling.
Yeah, and he mentioned something that God looks down from heaven upon his child, and he can see something in there that has the potential of him going wrong. And what he does is he tests that so that that he would take it out of him, you know, to see if he's going to pass the test. I'm not saying this the way he said it. he knows there's something wrong with his child and he wants to fix him. So he's going to give him a test, but he teaches him first on this and then he tests. And, he's choreographing it so that he would come through the test and pass. So it's still all in God's hands, but you still have to pass the test. You know, he's on your side for this, and. That's the good part, because he's merciful and he's kind for this to actually function for you properly. And I only got through the first chapter of that other book because I was kind of studying that one on the side along with this one. And it's another very good book, and I'm looking forward to doing like maybe a chapter of each, you know, and it's really great, and you know, of course, you know, to take obedience with your cross is really great, because if you look at some of the love that's talked about in First John, you know, it mentions your brother, and to love your brethren, and to love all of mankind, actually, according to the scriptures. And that love is agape. You know, you've got to come in agreement with the Lord on how to do this. And of course, you can even receive things from other people when they love on you and tell you what the Lord wants. So of course, that's done with just talking with other brothers, but this cross is something that by faith that you're going to follow, and the Lord's going to lead you through it, because it's by faith. It's not something you can force your own cross, you know, get someone going against you. So because if you're not going to take the cross, then there's something wrong there. There's something where you're not obeying. And you really tend to beat up on yourself, too, when you go wrong on some things. So that's just something that the Lord's been working in me lately, because I just want to love the Lord, and you know, he's got to take all this information that he put in your head and put it in your heart and just do it. And well, that's just all I have to say. Praise God.
Yeah, Andy has a certain way. Andy Murray has a certain way about him that I really like, the way he explains things. And it's just a different way, but he says basically the same thing. That's what we're hearing here. Okay. Anybody else? Judy, did you have something? Yeah, I saw you raise your hand. Yes, I did. Oh, that was Sue. That was Sue. Yes, yeah, Sue, what'd you have?
I'm sorry. I heard Andrew already said something that I was going to say, that to be unforgiving is to not be in love. Mm-hmm. We're not loving our brothers and sisters. That puts it in a nutshell, you know, because in the scriptures that we're to love one another, and, you know, there's two commands, love God, love man. And if we're not loving man, we're not even loving God either. So, because, you know, man is made in the image of God. So, there you go.
Amen. All I got. Amen. Good. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, he mentioned something like, if you're going to paint on a canvas, but you don't own that canvas, how much work would you put in painting the picture on it if someone's going to just take it away? And he's comparing that to a person who wants to be forgiven, but there's or has something in him, anger or something. He wants to be forgiven, but he's got something deeply rooted and grounded inside of him. So he's got a different love there. Or God's not going to just want to spend a lot of time on you if you don't want to turn over yourself, your entire canvas over to him so that he can paint you the way he wants to paint you. And if there's something rooted in you, that is what he wants to get rid of. And that's what you, I believe, when I read that part of the book of Andrew Murray, that's what you got to pray against, anything that's rooted in you, because you know that in Ephesians, you have to be rooted and grounded in love. So, like I mentioned last time, you know, the Lord showed me some verses there in 1 John that to love your brethren, because you guys loved on me on some things there that I had to do here. And when I read that, I know that one of my brethren is still alive now, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it hit really hard when I read it that way, because I know you guys have Christ in you. But when I read it and said, wait a minute, my big brother is Jesus Christ, and I have to do it now. And I want to apply this to my cross. You know, and it's a little harder because this is stuff coming at you from the outside. Where the other thing is, it's something the Lord commanded you and you should do. And it's easier to what did you call it? Do a burning. I don't know what it was that actually called it, but to cleanse this house of items that are fleshy or takes a lot of time away from you. And the discs. And I just been blessed by it since that time. And I want to grow more, and I want to be more obedient. Ain't nothing like doing obedience that makes you want to be more obedient to the Lord. And studying it is one thing, but actually doing it is another, you know. And the Lord actually gave me a word today from Ezekiel 34, but it was in 33, the last three chapters. And I'm going, if we hadn't read the shepherd book there, the shepherd's look, I wouldn't have understood that prophecy, because I know that I was one of these sheep that's 34 here, you know. And I'm just going, wow, this is what everyone's been through at UBM. It's in this Ezekiel 34 here. And in the last verse of 34, he says that these animals are men. So it's a real interesting chapter, Ezekiel 34. Of course, I started in Ezekiel 33 and 30, and there was some stuff there, and the Lord even actually gave me a few other verses about what the Lord said when they were talking about John the Baptist. We piped to you and you didn't dance. And, well, you'd have to read it all really to understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's kind of sad, because there's people in that state now of this Ezekiel 34. And, you know, it's just like the words popped in my head, come out from among them, my people. Just like it says in Revelation. And it's amazing, you know, what the Lord can do when he leads you and guides you. It's been a lot better for me at work, too, lately. And just from what I read, you know, when you mess up, it hurts a lot more. Because you don't want to be like that. You don't want to do the error. You don't want to fumble your cross. You know, you want to do it right. So it's opened a whole new journey for me. I that's about the best word I can put. And I just hope God blesses y'all. If anyone can gain anything from this.
Amen. Yep. Anybody else? Well, okay. This next part's good too. I know y'all read it, but I'm going to read it again. You'll notice from the scriptures quite often when people were praying for healings, bread or any need of provision from God, the very next thing that was mentioned is to make sure you forgive. Matthew 6 and 11. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Why is that? It's because you're blocking your provisions from God if you don't forgive. And so he says in Matthew 6 and 11, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Notice, if you forgive your debtors, then your debts are forgiven. In other words, he's not talking about money debts here. He's talking about a debt of sin, a debt of offense, a debt that somebody owes you because of an offense or something you consider that they owe you because of some wrong they have done you. Matthew 6 and 12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And if you're not forgiven, then you're not entitled to grace. If you're not forgiven, then you're actually not saved. And that's a hard one to handle, but it's the truth. God said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. Remember the parable of the guy that had the big debt, wouldn't forgive the guy with the little debt? The foundation for salvation is forgiveness. Just remember that. Always bear that in mind. They sacrificed bulls and goats under the old covenant in order to obtain forgiveness. And Jesus was sacrificed as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. In order to give us forgiveness. But here he tells us, okay, I forgave you. Now you forgive, or you're not forgiven. Well, that's a very, very dangerous place to be. Bitterness, anger, judgment. All these are also manifestations of unforgiveness. And they'll block any of the blessings of God from you. They'll bring a curse on you, just like we're fixing to see. Here is a similar set of verses, Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Wow. That just covers every need that you could have, right? That's an awesome promise, and it's true too. We have seen many, many people receive their blessings from God from that one verse there. But again, in the very next verse, forgiveness is mentioned, Mark 11, 25. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So we're being warned from God once again that having forgiveness for others is a condition for receiving any of your benefits from God. What happened to once saved, always saved? Ooh, it's out the door. Another way, it's out the door.
Thought that was the next book we were going to read.
Possibly so. We could read that one too, but here it is right here in black and white. All right. Anybody else got anything they want to comment? So I just want to make it, just kind of make it bold, so to speak. If you have unforgiveness, you're not saved. That's what God's saying. If you have bitterness in your heart toward anyone, you're not saved. If you have aught in your heart against anyone and you hold it, you're not saved. If you die with unforgiveness in your heart, you're not saved. Just saying. Yeah, Leah.
Does that include unforgiveness for yourself?
Absolutely. Sure does. Don't go into condemnation. We're sanctified by faith, aren't we? Once you confess it, don't worry about it. It's over. Glory to God, you're back on the road. You're in the holy ground. So just keep on going, you know. There ain't no need in sitting there dwelling on it. Like God sitting up there with a ball bat ready to knock you out. No, he's sitting up there waiting on you to come back in is what he's doing. He's got grace, folks. We don't know a whole lot about. I'm telling you, I'm finding out that his grace goes far beyond my comprehension. I mean, go ahead, Dave.
See, one of the chapters that I got today, and actually it's Hebrews. But I got verse 10:18. But I'm going to go up to 1. And then we've all heard this, but, you know, we can't get enough of the gospel. You really can't. I mean, you can't. You have to really understand it. Wrap your head around it and don't let go of it. And keep on going back to it. Keep on going back to it. Keep on going back to it. It says, for the law having a shadow of the good to come, not the very image of things, can never with the sacrifices year by year, which they offered, continually make perfect those who draw near. We know about the law. It can't make perfect. He said, or else, would not they have ceased to be offered? I mean, if they made the one offering and it was good, why would they have to continue it? He says, because the worshipers, having been once cleansed, would have no more consciousness of sin. So that's if that offering worked, it would have been over, you know, no more consciousness of sin. But he goes on to say, but in those sacrifices, there's a yearly reminder of sins. So they're always being reminded that, you know, they got sin. They've got sin. They're getting sacrificed. They got sin. It's not going away. It's there. It's they just, the sacrifices are once cleansing, but they got sin still the next day. It says it's for impossible the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It would not take away your sins. Take them away. It'd cover it for a short time, but wouldn't take it away. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Now we're talking about God's talking about Jesus. Jesus is saying this is what God prepared for him. He says, you have no pleasure in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins. Why is that? Well, it's not working. It didn't do what he wanted. He says, then I said, look, I have come in the scroll of the book is written of me to do your will, O God, which we get from Jesus to do his will. Right? We have that reconciliation that what was reconciliation, that exchange was made, what Jesus had, we got now, we got Jesus' will to do. the will of the Father also, that reconciliation was done at the cross. But we go farther. He says, previously saying, sacrifices, offerings, and whole burnt offerings, sacrifices for sin, you did not desire and never had pleasure in those which are offered according to the law. Legalism, got to do it, got to do this, you know, smack you if you don't. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Well, I guess we're not under the law. Took it away. Can't go back to the law now. It's gone. Covenant's broke. Don't go back to that covenant. It's not there. How can you go back to a covenant that doesn't exist? Really? We just seen what it was, but it's no longer around. He established a second. What's the second? By which we have been sanctified. What's sanctified? He says, we've been sanctified. It's been done. Sanctified, set apart for God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Over with. Can't do any more beyond that. Even every priest indeed stands day by day serving and offering the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Wow, what a hopeless task. How hopeless is that? Gosh, think about that. It is. But this one, which he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It's done, sat down, sins are over. He's at the right hand of God. Any more? We need to know any more about that? It's over. It's done. Sacrifice was done. He's at the right hand of God for our sins. It's accomplished. For that time, waiting until his enemies made a footstool of his seat. What would be the first enemy? What's one of the enemies we got to face? Unbelief. Yeah, you don't believe this? You got to believe it. All right, that's an enemy. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Guess what? You want perfection? You got it. You want it? You want sanctification? You got it. Don't say, oh, I still got to get that. No, you got it. He just gave it to you. It's over. Receive it. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying, this is a covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws in their heart and I'll write them on their minds. But we're going to help them out. We're still going to study his word and get it in our hearts. We're going to believe everything he says, and we're going to be diligent to be doing what he wants us to do at the same time. We're getting that word in the heart and not let go of it while we're doing here. And believing for that. And I'll remember those sins and their iniquities no more. And now we're remissions of these. There is no more offering for sin. Now, where there is remission of these, remission is where there's freedom, where there's liberty, where there's that forgiveness of this, which we just received all that through Christ, there is no more offering for sin. Because the sin offering's been done, it's paid for, we've got that freedom in Christ. Let's just stand on the gospel. Let's remember what we got for Jesus from the gospel. Let's don't get back into the law and legalism. Let's don't feel to get all tripped up. Think, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to get right. You're already right. You just confess whatever you think is wrong and move forward and forget it, because he can't make another offering for sin. It's over. He completed that offering. We just got to accept that offering as being completed. All right? And then when it comes to forgiveness, you know what? If you say, I want to forgive, Lord, and I don't want this on my heart anymore, take this from me, and I'm going to trust you, you're going to do that, just stop right there and rest on that. And if it comes back, we cast it down because it was already forgiven. If it's forgiven, you're forgiven. Just don't hold on to it because you're forgiven. It's not you that's trying to hold on to it anymore. It's not the spirit man. Maybe the carnal man wants to, but you know what? He's dead. There's an exchange made at that cross. Not only was Jesus exchanging his life for yours, but he, guess what? When he was up there on that cross, he put your old man up there too with him so that you could come down and be the spirit man walking in newness and life with Christ. That new man of Christ is walking today. That old man is still on the cross. Put him back on the cross, leave him there, because that's where Jesus put his time and spent his time to get rid of that old man. So leave him on the cross. Don't pick him up. Don't leave him. You don't have to. You got the spirit man now to walk in the newness of life.
which Jesus just gave us here. And he perfected you. He sanctified you. Now, we all talk about it's a process. We still got to walk through and live. Well, yeah, but, you know, when Jesus was here, he perfected himself. He did that sanctified walk too. Now, we still have to go through that walk process and understand what all this means. But it doesn't mean we don't have it already. Believe that we already have it. It's yours. In the process, maybe along the way, you might have a little discomfort while he's trying to perfect us along the way. Just understand that's all it is. It's just the process of perfection. And we got it by faith, the completeness. And right now, we're just kind of manifesting that completeness in us. That's all I want to say.
Do you have something, Albert?
Yeah, my hand was getting tired, so I put it back down. Just playing. No, David, no, I agree, brother. The way is the Lord has taught me to look at it is, you know, just like every other thing, manifestation of true love for the brethren is a process. But forgiveness and being delivered of bitterness and unforgiveness and all them other things is done by faith through believing in the Word of God. And the way I look at it is when I know the Lord, when I know I lose my salvation if I refuse to forgive somebody, I don't want that. Sometimes things rise up in me that I don't like, you know, and that's the key point, right? That we hate it. We hate the sin. We hate the sin. We hate the thoughts that are against the Word of God. We hate, you know, we hate everything that is against the Word of God, and we cast down all vain imaginations. That's where unforgiveness resides. You know, it's not coming into agreement with them thoughts or, you know, and sometimes we say things that, you know, we shouldn't say, but we hate it. And I believe that, you know, it's been a process, and I'll tell you what, it's been a long process for me. I'll be honest with you. I've had a lot of trials through this and it's for my own good by God. And I've seen a great improvement, but there's a long way to go for me to walk in love and to not have any bitterness or resentment manifest in me ever. But I tell you what, there's never a time that I'm in agreement with it and I hate it. And I think God gives us grace, and as long as we're casting down all vain imaginations, we're, you know, we're trying to renew our minds day by day, and we're never in agreement with them things. I know that God is all powerful and almighty, and he will bring us through it. You know, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle because life is tough, right? In the flesh. We got to walk in the spirit. So anyway, I figured I'd share that. I know I struggle. You know, I sometimes I say things I should never say or allow thoughts to have an effect on me where I actually may become angry at times. And I admit that as sin and I confess it to my God. But I know I believe in the Word of God, and I know that the Lord's going to perfect me. And I don't agree ever with unforgiveness, bitterness, or resentment against anyone. I want to be gentle and meek and humble and love my brethren without ever having a judgmental thought even come into my mind. That I look for that glorious day. Amen. Anyway, I figured I'd share that with you.
Amen. Yeah, me too. I look for that glorious day when I don't see nothing but love, you know. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, Sue.
I was thinking about when the Lord was on the cross and how he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so many times when I sometimes, you know, when I think about that, I realize that sometimes I could say something or do something that I don't realize I'm saying or doing that would offend somebody. And I don't want to offend anybody, but that could cause them to be unforgiving as well. So I got to think about that in the same sense that they, just like I can mess up, they can mess up too. So I need to forgive, you know, if they mess up and they say something I feel offended about, or I gotta forgive because they don't know. They may not know. And even if they do know, I still have to forgive because the enemy's using them. And how many times does the enemy use me? You know, it's that same scenario. That's why we need to forgive. Okay.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say sometimes, you know, we mess up. Let's say we mess up somewhere, whatever it is. We can't keep on beating ourselves over the head over it either. I mean, you realize you're a mistake. You confess it to the Lord if it's something that needs to be confessed. But you don't try to use it to constantly bring yourself down. You can't do that. You got to look for where you're going to be continue on in life and moving forward and having that, looking up for things, looking into the Lord, and quit looking at yourself. That's one of the difficulties when we have to examine these things. We have a tendency to look at self so much, and then you start going back in time, looking at yourself and all the things you might have did wrong, all the things you might have said wrong, and you're starting to relive this past of old man, which is not there anymore. It's dead. And you forgot, well, wait a minute, I left that at the cross. I forgot I was forgiven for that. I forgot that I may have been like that one time before, but I'm not like that now. And I'm striving to be like my Savior. That's my goal. And I'm walking with Jesus every day. And he's talking to me. And we're you know, day by day with the Lord. So we can examine these things about what we've done, or maybe things that we've said in the past, or things that people said to us, but we can't let it push us forward in our life by dragging that baggage with us. We got to let that baggage go and say, I'm clean, I'm sanctified, I'm forgiven, and move on. And you can't keep on picking that up and picking it up and picking it up, because you didn't leave it at the cross. You didn't leave it where death was. You're trying to make it still part of your life. So, yeah, we can say, oh, I really got to work on this. I'm having a tough time, and things aren't right, and I remember I did that too. And pretty soon you're back on the old man. You're looking at yourself and not looking at Jesus. And be careful. We're going to examine these things and know where we've got to be and put these checks in our heart to make sure we're not walking that way. But don't stay there. Don't keep on looking at the old man, because that's not where life's at. The old man's dead. Christ is life. Think about your new life in Christ too. You know, thank the Lord that you don't have to be like that, because he gave you deliverance from that. That's what this is all about. He gave us remission or deliverance from these things. He gave us a deliverance. He gave us that pardon. So just wanted to put that in there.
Amen. Did you have something, Denny? Okay. Anybody else? All right, that's good stuff. We see pretty much the same thing in these scriptures also, Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter and said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him until seven times. And Jesus said unto him, I'll say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, on and on and on and on, right? Just keep on forgiving. Matthew 18:23. Excuse me. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. David says, now this debt we're talking about, he's applying to forgiveness. Somebody who has offended you or done you wrong in any way, or you consider that they owe you because of some evil that they've done against you, that's what the debt is that he's talking about right here. So they brought unto him a servant who owed him a great debt. And don't we all, when we come to the Lord, owe him a great debt? We owe him a great debt because we've sinned against him. We've sinned against his word. We're held accountable. Excuse me. We're held accountable because of the evil that we've done contrary to righteousness, goodness, and the word of God. Matthew 18:25. But for as much as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. Folks, we were sold into bondage because of sin and the curse. And the curse not only came upon us, it came upon our family. But the Lord had a solution. Matthew 18:26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. The Lord, through what Jesus did at the cross, has forgiven us the debt. The debt of all of our sins was forgiven by Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, and now we're free. We're free because of what Jesus did, unless we don't forgive other people their debts. And unforgiveness can be pretty sneaky and easy to hide from ourselves. We named that testimony by Malcolm, Saved from Undiscerned Unforgiveness, because many times we justify our unforgiveness. We consider it justified that we don't forgive because they've done something so terrible, you know. But the Lord doesn't care what it is. It all has to be forgiven. You forgive. You forgive the total debt of anyone else because he forgave your total debt. How much sin can you go to heaven with? Boy, that's a good one. How much sin can you go to heaven with? Can you drag along your sin with you? Mm-mm. Do you want to be forgiven of some or of all of your sins? You want to be forgiven of all of your sins, obviously. Matthew 18:28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings, which is a very small amount. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what thou owest. So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Now he's even quoting what this guy told his Lord. You'd think that hearing his own words quoted would be a reminder. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay that which was due. Notice the words here, until he should pay that which was due. That's very interesting because these words are quoted further down. And then he goes into a testimony there. All right, anybody got anything to say about what we just talked about there? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I just thought that it was just very interesting how in this whole set of scriptures here, you know, talking about what David just pointed out, you know, he's showing you're going to reap what you sow, you know, and it's just that just really hits the whole point home, you know. Yeah, you know, you know if you want forgiveness, you got to forgive. If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven, you know. That's reaping and sowing and reaping, I mean. But anyway, but yeah, so it turned around on him, you know. The Lord was going to put him in, you know, he had a debt, you know, and the Lord was going to put him and his family in prison, but he asked him to forgive him, you know, and he did. But then he turned around and did the same thing, you know. He was given mercy, you know, and he wasn't willing to give it back to someone else then. So he was gonna end up reaping what he sowed. Thank you, Lord, for keeping Michael's eyes open in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving him energy, keeping him awake.
And we're all past.
I need to wear a cap, don't I, David? With a long bill on it. Amen. Oh, my daughter just texted me. She said, did she eat? She's having trouble eating. Jeanette's having trouble eating. Did she eat? They're like monsters when they come in here with her, boy. You're going to eat. No, I don't feel like it. You're going to eat. You know, and they just try to stuff it down her throat. I can't do that. I'm not going to do it. But anyway. Yeah. What were you talking about, Missy? I'm sorry. Okay. Unforgiveness. We're not going to have any. That's a good way to go. Just... if we can just remember that our salvation depends on us forgiving, that should be enough right there. You know, I should put a gentle fear in us, I should say. There's a lot of things that brings unforgiveness. And it all boils down to self. It just boils down to self. And that's what God's trying to get rid of us, is that old self life of us. He wants us to understand that we'll have freedom when self goes. We have freedom in Christ, don't we? And, well, she's persistent with me. I turned that thing off. Anyway, anybody else got something they want to add to this? I'm trying to figure out which testimony this is. Oh, this is the guy that fell out with him. Yeah, Missy.
I like the point, you know, David makes there at the bottom. I think it's your page 26. It says, first of all, the brothers whom he wasn't forgiving didn't have anything that needed forgiving. It was just them. They weren't like him. But obviously, God has all kinds of people in his kingdom. We have to have total patience with one another because we're all coming from different backgrounds, but we're headed to the same place by the grace of God, and that is Christ-likeness.
That's right. Amen. Where are you? I'm lost. 27.
I continued at the bottom of the page.
Oh, okay.
You finished off.
Okay. 28.
Okay, yeah. I know your book shows yours is 28, but on mine it's 27. I got it switched around. I thought you were a page less than I was or something, but anyway.
No, we're always a step ahead of you, Missy. No unforgiveness. No unforgiveness, man. Watch it. Watch it. All right. Anybody else? It seems so simple, but yet it's so hard sometimes, isn't it? We make it hard. I make it hard on myself because my flesh has always been with me. Now this new spirit man's coming in me, and he's just turning my life upside down. Lord, what am I going to do? Go ahead, Missy.
You know, if we can just remember to put ourselves in other person's shoes and treat others the way we want to be treated, gosh, you know, that goes a long ways. Just about to say that.
Okay. Yeah, Leah.
What size shoes do you wear, Missy?
Well, sneaker to 7.5, but regular shoes at size 7.
I can't fit in them. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, she could put two of hers in yours. How's that? Okay.
I'm not sure if we can ever walk in somebody's shoes, but we can try to understand and, you know, be compassionate. You know, everybody's got their, whatever they're going through, whatever their life is, their lives are different, you know. But we don't have to make it worse. We can try to make it better. You know, but you get around some people that are just difficult, and you can't make their life better, but you can maybe stand back and not make it worse. That's for sure. You know. Some people you try to talk to and they just, you know what, if the chemistry is not there, I just don't push it. You ever try to talk to some people that are Christians and wow, they've got that wall up. You just can't get around that wall. So you just don't try to push that wall over. Well, it's not going to work unless God's there behind you. You know, and there's something there that's going to bring you together. So that's the biggest thing too. I think you get a lot of people that get offended so easy just because of their background and what they brought up. And they've been told, you know, to keep that wall up around other Christians because they don't believe like you believe. So they've got a wall. And if you're trying to find some common ground, sometimes they got that wall up and they're trying to keep you out. Whatever they can do because they don't want to receive something that's not from their church, not what they believe. And so just by trying to come into their life they're offended already. Sometimes they just, you know, they're already got that offense, that thing up, like, I've got to keep you out. So there comes a point where you just got to let the Lord work things out, you know. And it's kind of hard to walk in their shoes, because, you know, you may not be in their little environment, whatever they got going. So you don't exactly see what they're coming from. But if we try to push on that too much, boy, it just works. There's just more resistance. I've seen that, just kind of things that I'm experiencing. It's just like, wow, this wall, these hard faces up. When you just try to talk about the Lord and just good things, and they just, ooh. So that's maybe this fast will help. And I'm hoping this fast breaks down a lot of walls. It'd be, mm-hmm. So, that'd be really a pleasant place to be. You know, but anyways, just talking.
I mean, I tell you what, give me just a second, Joe, and I'll get right to you, brother. I believe this fasting and this praying is going to break a lot of walls down in our families and people you've been praying for. Eve made a suggestion. I was just looking at a blog that she put up about this praying. And the praying, she says to pray for people. Make a list of the people that you want to pray for, and then pray for them. And if you can't think of who they are, those people, pray in the Spirit for them. You know what it is that they need. Pray in the Spirit for them during these next 2 weeks. That's a good idea. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a list so I don't forget these people to pray for them. And she even suggested, you know, even the people that factioned out, there's some we know that are going to come back. We've gotten dreams about them coming back. So we should be praying for them, you know, as well. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Well, just kind of add on what you said there, Dave. I like how you brought that up, because it, what came to mind for me, and I can give a little bit of experience from my part, hopefully some wisdom somebody can kind of take and just, you know, take it and run with it, or just kind of realize, because I put, you know, I've had walls up, you know, for many years, you know, from the past hurts and stuff like that. And it's almost like I was thinking about what David said from time to time, when you're dealing with the flesh, you know, it's like snake charming. You got to see, you know, you got to kind of work with it, you know, okay, like, okay, I can say this, okay, I can't say that. And it's almost with like someone with like a wall up, you know, you're thinking, well, like you said, yeah, you don't want to push it down on them, you know, and it's easy to stay away from them. But that goes back to denying yourself, you know, because a lot of times when you're dealing with people who have walls up, you know, we're thinking a lot of times we're not patient. You know, I mean, we're just not patient with that person because we're thinking we're not doing any good, you know, or, I mean, they're just too, you know, too hard to please. They're too hard to do, to really do anything, you know, whereas somebody who doesn't have a wall, well, that's a lot easier. So I think, you know, it's denying yourself, you know, and say, okay, hey, Lord, give me wisdom on how to kind of charm the stake, so to speak. You know, is there a hole in the wall here? You know, is there somewhere he's receptive, you know, he or she's receptive? And let's build on that. You know, I've always found myself, I'm more likely to go to somebody, you know, who, I don't know how to put this exactly, I guess, kind of is able, you know, just to, yeah, to not like say things, you know, to kind of just all of a sudden cause me to have that wall instead. But, you know, like, you know, it's like they know how to kind of charm the snake. They know how to say things, you know, like, okay, yeah, I can kind of bring the wall down, or I can kind of listen to what they're saying here. You know, I can let them in a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like, I kind of thought about what you were saying, Dave. Yeah. It's easy to just constantly, you know, push them away or just kind of stay back. Like, oh, you know, they're too much to handle, or they'll never listen. But it's almost like what David said, charming the snake. You know, you really got to find a way. Ask God for wisdom. Okay. How can I reach out to this person you know, and allow them to kind of let me in a bit, you know, allow them to, you know, help me bring down the wall, you know, that I put up over the years. So just something I thought I'd throw out there, you know, and it's just, I mean, pray about it. But yeah, I think I've always kind of, I mean, it's kind of the same, you know, approach to the flesh there. So, yeah.
Okay. Albert, David put up there what the fast is, but we're fasting because of Eve's word from the Lord to do this 2-week fast. And the first week is like David described in the chat there. You can go to the front of the outreach when I get it posted up, and I'll explain the whole thing. Matter of fact, I'll read her dream and the scriptures from it. Yeah, Missy.
Is David going to be sharing this on the Bible
study? Yes, he will. Yep.
I figured he would. Okay.
Yeah, David will be sharing this tomorrow. But if you wanted to start, you know, in the morning, that'd be fine, you know. I think Dave and a few of them back in Tennessee started today. So I'm going to start mine tomorrow. I'm fasting from asparagus and no. I'm going to do the same thing as he did. All right. Let's see. Okay. Is it? Oh, man. Looky here. I finally made it, Missy. I'm falling asleep. Thank you, Jesus. I had, let's see. Somebody else. Yeah. Yeah, Joe.
Now, knowing it's a 2-week period, I forget if I remember you said, does it have to be in line with everybody else? Huh? Or is it just like 2 weeks?
Yeah,
it's up 2 weeks. Up to like a certain point. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think you said like towards the middle of February or something like that?
Yeah, probably to the middle of February. Look, the spring starts March the 19th,
I believe. Okay.
And we're thinking that this thing is going to start big time sometime in the spring. So,
okay.
Whenever you feel led to start, you know, I'd be fine.
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. That's
I like to just go ahead and get on with it. You know, it's just me. Yeah, true. Missy.
Okay.
Makes sense. You just wait? Oh, Missy. Okay. Any more questions before we close out? Well, Lord, I just thank you for another good night. I praise you, Father, for all the good input we got tonight. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are killing the flesh in all of us and showing us how to walk that that Jesus Christ walk, get rid of putting the self on the cross and not showing anything but Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it. We just praise you, Father, for what you're going to do. Tomorrow, starting, a lot of people are going to start tomorrow. We ask that you bless us through this fast and let us, each one of us, make it all the way through it. It's going to be easy because we've done these type of things before. And Father, we just praise you that this 2 weeks fast is going to bring a lot of people to you, Lord, in a mighty way. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Give us all a good night's sleep. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, y'all. Let's see. All right. Good night, y'all. Bless you.